Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sister Gidget, can you hear me? Brother Kareem?
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. Sister Aisha is available now. She's awaiting your call.
Yes, sir. I'm going to get on the line now.
All right. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, that's well, okay. We Queen Aziz, something happened. Her call line dropped. I'm going to get her on.
Excuse me?
I'm going to have to call. Her call dropped.
Okay. Brother Kareem, can you call me back? I have to hang up because my line is tied up. And
please leave your message for...
And a phone is
ringing. Nayera. I'm on the line, Brother James.
I know. I don't know how that happened. But Brother Kareem, can you call me right back?
Yes, sir. We'll
okay,
do.
Okay, I'm hanging up. Call me right back. Yes. Thank you, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, I got it.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. All right. I'm going to call Sister Aisha.
Okay.
One more time, and then I'm going to get Queen Aziza back on the line.
Okay, very good.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. Is this Aisha?
This is she.
Yes, ma'am. This is Brother Kareem with Nation Building.
Yes, sir, and Brother Kareem. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. All praise is due to Allah. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Kareem, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Brother James, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, beloved.
Yes, sir. All right, let me get Queen Aziza on the line so that we can move forward with this broadcast. All right.
I do so apologize. I don't know what's going on with the phones, but I don't know where you were. But let me begin by welcoming everybody to Nation Building Movement Presents. Understanding the processing of auditing, and I would like to open up with, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, and I would like to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Alaikum salam.
Speak to the host.
Okay.
Wow, we lost her again.
Yes, sir. For some reason, we keep losing her. I'm calling her back right now.
Okay. That was one of those nights, I see.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
I do so apologize. Is everyone on the phone, Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. Everyone is on the phone. Yeah.
Okay, have everyone introduced themselves yet? No?
No, ma'am. No one has introduced themselves, not yet.
Okay. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but inshallah, we'll be able to move through this more smoothly from this point. And first, who I would like to take the time to introduce, well, not introduce, but of course present. This brother is so very dear to me. I have grown so much through his wisdom, whether he knows it or not. I don't let him know that enough, but I love him dearly. I appreciate him so much. He is the reason why I have even gained a true interest in Dianetics, because I have to be honest, excuse me, and say that in the beginning, when the minister introduced Dianetics to us, I was one of those ones that was like, I don't really into that. But, you know, brother, this particular brother has really opened my mind into just piquing that interest in studying more. And so I'm right at the beginning stages. And, of course, he's our host of Put on the New Man, our live study group on Friday. So let me present, please, to the Minister James Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir. Eid Mubarak to you.
Wa alaykum salam, Queen Aziza. And I'm very humbled by your accolades, dear sister. And, of course, we hasten to say all praise is due to Allah, because we can't shoulder it properly. But all praise is due to Allah, and of course, Eid Kareem. And I thank Allah for you, dear sister, and the format that you have extended to us through this Blog Talk Radio Network to express the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to all who would listen and participate. No, I thank you, dear sister, and I am in your debt.
Oh, beloved, thank you so much. And also, I would like to present, because this is not her first time with us, but she hasn't been with us in a while. Now, let me see if I got this right. She is the Assistant Regional Student Auditor Coordinator. I might be incorrect, but Sister Naira Muhammad, come down front and center, sister, and introduce yourself to some and present yourself to others.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Eid Mubarak.
Wa alaikum
salam. Eid Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost, I want to thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm very humbled, and I want to thank Brother James for asking me to be a part, and I want to thank our Student National Auditors Coordinator for her inspiration that she gives us constantly for us to continue in this process of the work. I'm currently serving as the student sister captain in St. Petersburg, Florida, also assisting our student regional captain, Brother James Muhammad. And I want to say that I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful for this technology, and I pray Allah that we all, after tonight, would gain a better understanding and a more zeal to continue this part of our mission. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, just a word of correction, Sister Aziza, just a word of correction. I know she meant regional auditor coordinator and not captain, but we just want to make that correction.
That's correct.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir, absolutely. But the honor is certainly ours, Sister Naira. And last but certainly not at all least, we are so blessed and so honored and so privileged to have with us Sister Aisha Muhammad, who has been in the Nation of Islam, I think, since 1979. She has served as MGT captain and I think lives in Plainfield, New Jersey. She has been the National Vanguard captain, and she became the National MGT GCC captain, and now she is serving as Student National Auditor Supervisor, and she's a member of the Executive Council of Laborers. So it is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce to some and present to most of you, Sister Aisha Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Queen of Eid Mubarak to you.
Wa alaikum salam and Eid Kareem. And thank you so very much, my dear sister, for extending the invitation to me and for allowing me to share in this time that we have together so that we could advance, you know, the cause of life repair, also known as Dianetics, as presented to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and I appreciate your honesty by saying that initially you were one who didn't necessarily see it as we should see it, but there are a whole lot of us who may continue to think that way and others who would never admit it. So I always appreciate straight talk, straight words, and honesty, because time has a way of bringing everything to its natural order. And everything follows a course according to time. So we have to look at where we are, look at our condition, look at our people, and all we have to do is turn on the television or just have a conversation with someone, and we know the value that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given to us so that we could get through this very difficult hour. So I thank you for providing a forum that would allow us to have this kind of very important discussion. So thank you so very much. It is my honor. I am humbled so that I could do whatever I can, as we used to say, to try to find a way to make our salvation. But, you know, Brother James reminded me before that Allah already took care of that when he came. All we need to do is go to work. So I'm here to serve in any way that I can help, and to add any understanding to this or any light only by Allah's permission. I certainly would, I thank you for the opportunity that you have granted us this evening so that we can do that. So, and don't apologize for the technical difficulties. You don't have any control over that, all right?
Right.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I hear and obey. Yes, ma'am, thank you so much. And I just want to clear the air from the beginning for our callers who are calling in and those of you who are on the Yahoo chat, the Google chat, and in the chat room, and certainly the ones of you who are calling by phone. And this is not a debate. And what I mean by that is that there are some people who have criticized Dianetics. There are some people who have criticized L. Ron Hubbard. We are not discussing L. Ron Hubbard tonight. We are not discussing Scientology tonight. What we are discussing is understanding the process of Dianetics. So if you have questions or comments about that particular topic, that is what we're discussing, and we are not discussing anything negative. So I want to get that out there, because I know I've had some things come up during the process of promoting the show, and we would not entertain anything pertaining to Scientology as a whole and L. Ron Hubbard in particularly on this broadcast tonight. So I want to make that clear to everyone who's listening. And, you know, excuse me, as I stated earlier, you know, I'm not very aware of the process of Dianetics. You know, I've dabbled here and there, and I always want to go to the origin of a word in order to obtain an understanding. So I'm going to ask you, Sister Aisha, what does the word Dianetic or Dianetics mean?
Well, let me just say that, and I think it's important for me to begin by saying that we understand that sometimes it is the language that is sometimes off-putting. So when we hear the terms given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we understand when we hear it, it correlates to the word that we've been given, what Mr. Hubbard gives us. So when we hear about it, for some people, initially when we hear the term Dianetics, we're turned off. And we're turned off because we think that it's something strange. We think that it is something, you know, weird. And we don't understand what it means. So that when we finally have a better understanding of it and we see what the definition of it, which is the science of mind, we understand that it is something that we can relate to. But when we use sometimes the definitions that Mr. Hubbard gives, you know, which gives us another terminology that seems a little more complicated, because when we study Dianetics, we understood that it's a family of sciences that, and if I recall, that embrace the various humanities that gives, he gives precise definitions. And so there's volumes of words that come up under Dianetics, but it really is an exact science that deals with the thought and the science of the mind.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I appreciate that clarity, because a lot of people, we've heard so many versions. And I want to ask this question of each of you, because I'm certain that each of you have a different opinion. But, you know, a lot of people have criticized the minister for the introduction of the use of Dianetics. So I'm going to ask you, starting with you, Sister Nayara, in your opinion, what is it that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan seen in us that you think made him suggest using Dianetics as a tool for healing?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that question. Well, first of all, I would say that the love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that he has for us, that he can see way farther than what we can see in understanding us as a people, and definitely as the people that's been chosen by Allah himself, he knows what we've been through. He knows the hurt. He knows the pain. He knows the sicknesses of the mind that all of us have experienced in some way or another. So for him to go out and discover a technology, not just for himself but for a nation, you know, that's pure love. So he wants for us of what he wants for himself, because he didn't just go out and say, okay, I'm going to have them to try this. He also went through that process. So I see that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan loved us so much that he wants us to return back to our original selves. And this is one of the technologies that will help us get back to being that perfect being.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your response. And Brother Student Minister James?
Yes, ma'am. And thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. And what I'd like to do is make reference to a book that we as registered members refer to as The Supreme Wisdom, and therein are instructions to the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from the founder of the Nation of Islam, Master Farad Muhammad, or W.D. Farad Muhammad. And in the first paragraph of instructions, we are told, here, lesson number one, this is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad writing this, here lesson number one is said to be the student's assignment first, which is to be understood that this is the first assignment of a member of the Nation of Islam. It continues, lesson number one lays the base of our work today and gives the student a clear, and I'll underscore that word clear, knowledge of himself and his heavenly home, the best part of the earth, and who is the enemy to him and his nation, and why the enemy and righteous could not live together, and why was the righteous able to cast out the enemy. Well, let's begin with the first statement, the lesson of getting a clear knowledge of himself. We need to understand what that word self and it means and how it's defined. The word self, according to the dictionary, is defined as a person or thing referred to with respect to complete individuality, as in one's own self, a person's nature or character, etc., the uniting principle as a soul underlying all subjective experience. Now, this contextually is very, very important. The uniting principle as a soul underlying all subjective activity. It is that which knows, remembers, desires, and suffers, as contrasted with that known, as contrasted rather with that which is known. Well, our mantra, as many who know or have some knowledge of the Nation of Islam, is accept your own and be yourself. Well, what is our self? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that your own self is a righteous Muslim, and that is absolutely the truth. In addition to that, and not that I can add anything to his definition, but according to the dictionary, as I had before stated, the self is something that needs to be put under analysis. And it is, I repeat, the uniting principle as a soul. It underlies all subjective experiences. In Dianetics, we are taught that the self, in its experiences of the past, takes on certain influences as a result of painful experiences. And out of these painful experiences, these influences, although the experiences were in the past, these painful experiences and the influences that attend them affect our current behavior. There are things that we do and we don't know why we do them. We don't know why we think the way we think. We don't know why we have certain idiosyncrasies or certain aversions to things that we can't even explain. Well, in Dianetics, we are taught these are what is called engrams, and they are as a result of past experiences. So, as I bring my answer to a close, if, in fact, we're going to accept our own and be ourselves, then there must be a process by which we can put self under analysis and begin to deal with an analytical approach to self, an assessment of self, and then a correction of that which we have assessed needs to be corrected. This is the underlying principle of the study guides, self-improvement, the basis of community development. So Dianetics, for those who contend with the minister that he's deviating or going off the path and teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they need to dispassionately reconsider and compare from the supreme wisdom, from the study guide, principally and contextually, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing. And if they would, they would see that he is in lockstep with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and in a deeper expression of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught and teaches according to the instructions he received from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself. He said, "Brother, I don't want you teaching the teachings like I taught it. I want you to give a deeper meaning." And lastly, according to the scripture, you know, it's put in the mouth of Jesus as he was departing. He said, "There are many things that I could tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth." And our testimony is that that Spirit of truth referred to in Scripture is none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is guiding us into that which the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we could not bear at the time when he was present among us. And so this is a study of self, the deepest study of self, and the correction of self, and it's congruent with the teachings and message of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother James. Thank you. And Sister Aisha, if you would, what do you think that the minister saw in us that made him want to implement the use of Dianetics as a tool to help us heal some of our ills?
Well, thank you for your question. I was reflecting on Study Guide 13. We have a series of study guides that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us through the years. And particularly study guide number 13, he says that it is his desire that all of the believers, we put ourselves in positions to be forgiven for all of our sins, and that Allah, God, may heal the wounds of our nation. And we don't think of it, and that's the end of that quote, but we don't look at it in terms of the little nation. The minister is looking at all of our people all over the earth. And whenever he sees us and he listens to us, then he hears our pain, and he is in pain because of the heart that he has after Almighty God, Allah himself. And so he said to us that we are a people who have been rejected and despised from the very beginning of our sojourn here in these United States, and that all of us would benefit from auditing, which is Dianetics. He said, while every one of us might not necessarily be an auditor, every one of us needs to be audited. He saw the pain that he has to, you know, witness every day when he sees us, whether we're in his face, in a meeting, or on the street, because he is a man who lives by example. He walks out, he meets our people, and whenever he talks to us, he sees our pain. But initially, the thought came to him because of what was brought to his attention regarding one of his former student laborers, of an experience that that laborer had that caused that person to act in a way that was egregious in many respects and very, very challenging. So the minister had to look at what was at the root cause of this person's behavior, and he began to look at us, not just for what we presented, how we acted, how we talked, the things that we did when we're being ungrateful to ourselves and unjust to ourselves, and we express all kinds of vitriol oftentimes and anger, but it all comes out of pain. And he wanted us to take advantage of this technology that could alleviate our people of the pain that he saw that we have been afflicted by. This is what is at the root of our killing one another, our disrespect of one another, our not loving ourselves, because when we understand this word called Dianetics, we understand that there are commands or words or phrases that have been put in our psyche that cause us to think a certain way. And the minister wanted to find a way to alleviate or to relieve us of this deep pain that we have been carrying that would allow us to realize our God-given gifts and talents. So he pointed us toward this technology, but only after having tried it for himself. And he invited some of us to experience it. He did not tell us what we were going to experience, and he did not tell us what we should think. He allowed us to go through it, and then he asked us to share back with him what our thinking was. And there were some of us who went thinking that this is not something that we could benefit from, or that this was something for black people. But if we understand even Mr. Hubbard's words, his message to black people was that if we had this, then we could take it upon ourselves and heal ourselves, and they could step out of it. because this is not about Scientology. It is about healing a people who have been inflicted by the wounds of slavery and thinking, or the thinking that has been imposed upon us by others who hated us and who hate us today. So this is something that he gave to us that would help us to see ourselves in a new light and to walk up on out of the graves of ignorance, pain, and misery so that we can be everything that Almighty God has destined for us to be. That's why he wanted us to have this, sister.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I want to know, Sister Aisha, because, like I said, I was not one who was, you know, just, I was kind of reluctant to involve myself in the process of dynamics because I've been a counselor for 26 years. So, you know, I just looked at it as being something very foreign. And then I have conversed with those who say they understand and say they know. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, I got audited and I'm fine. And maybe that's the process for some, but there has to be some variations where, you know, maybe one or two sessions of auditing may work for some, but then auditing could take a very long time depending on the trauma that someone has faced. But this is what I want to get to, because a lot of people say, I got my thing together, I don't need auditing. But
right,
I think
right.
that all of us, because, you know, if you look at the results of Willie Lynch, and if you look at what has been perpetuated through the generations of our people, and particularly, I think that we all could use an auditing session because we all have been damaged by this, even though Willie Lynch may have been 300 years ago. There has something that has shaped our people, and that people shapes another people, and our environment that has been worsened as the years have gone on are shaping us. And so I just want to put it out there that it does not mean a diagnosis of, you know, you have, you know, psychological issues, but it's an acknowledgement that everyone can use a healing. So I just want to talk to you about that. What would you say to people about getting audited and the process of auditing?
Well, thank you for that, your own personal experience. My background is mental health, and I have taught also in the school system for those students who have been labeled behavioral disordered, emotionally disturbed. And so I have some background in it. And honestly, my first introduction to this really, really was an answer to a prayer, because I thought that I was going to finish my master's in the area of mental health and psychology. And so when the minister pointed us to this, it really answered all of the questions for me. And again, from my personal experience, I was a widow maybe a little more than almost 20 years now. And my first husband died very suddenly. And, you know, honestly, I went through a lot of pain. Of course, I was devastated. It happened very quickly. But for years following, I used this phrase, you know, I'm good, I'm fine. And I didn't realize that I wasn't fine. And even though, you know, some people believe that, well, I can talk about such and such that happened. I know this happened, so I don't have a problem talking about it. The process of Dianetics is quite different. You know, I've been in counseling for over 20 years as well. And I understand the difference between the two, and every part of what we offer has its value. One thing may complement another, but Dianetics is different in that the process involves being placed back into the situation in our minds, and we call that word reverie. So after having gotten the proper sleep and the right kinds of food and nutriment, we come and we sit down, and after having been asked a series of questions that alerts the auditor as to what we call different, some people call it push buttons, or different subjects that may have some charge with an individual, then we will ask the questions using very little language, very little communication, but we allow the person in their own mind to go back to the moment of pain or when some word was put in or inflicted upon the person that we thought that we were good with. We said, I'm good. I'm all good. I'm straight. And what we realize is that we're not. We have found a way to mask it, to put a face on it that appears to be, you know, a, one of acceptance and I'm in a good place, pardon me, but we haven't been. And the truth of the matter is when someone who is skilled can get us back into that moment and we walk through the process again, it's very, very painful. And oftentimes the idea of someone forcing us in our mind to say, I don't want to talk about that. And we say, we understand because we are patient and we are always assessing where the person is. And we ask questions that put you back into that moment, which is different than, you know, you just telling me what you remembered and what somebody did to you. And I found that in this process, even though people were initially, you know, not comfortable with the idea, that every single one who submitted to it, who gave up the whole idea of, well, I'm not going to do it, and they came in and they said, well, I think I'm in a – I'm going to just try this. Everyone walks away feeling like, man, I didn't even know I felt like that. I thought I was good. I thought I was through that. I didn't even realize I was still walking around with it, and I didn't realize the weight of it. And it's always a wonderful experience, initially scary, because we always feel like somebody will be in our business. Somebody's going to know, and I don't want anybody to know what I've gone through. I'm good. I've talked about it enough. It's between me and the God, or I don't need to bring that up again. So in the beginning, we say you can pull yourself out of anything which you get into if you don't like it, because we know that you have the power. We ask you the question, and we allow your mind to work to bring it up, and then we walk you through it. Not once, not twice. Sometimes three times, sometimes four times, or whatever times we feel is necessary in order to alleviate that discomfort, to take the charge off and bring what we say your tone scale or let your spirit come up. So this is the process. And so when you find that after the process, if you submit to it, it works for you, and then you feel like your shoulders have a weight that's been lifted off. And I tell you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Because the God already knows, and we know that part of our auditor's code is that whatever comes out in the session, we can never talk about it. We have to take it to our grave. We can't hint about it. We can't tell someone about it and tell them don't tell anybody. We can't have any pillow talk about it. We can't write a note about it. We can't be subpoenaed about it. We can't talk about it in our sleep. We can't even talk about it with you. If you ask us about it, we can't even tell you what you said, because it's about you coming to your own realization based on the information that you provided. We're not your judge. We're just simply here at the steering wheel trying to direct you back to a moment where you thought that you were good, but you realized you really weren't good at all. You just found a way to deal with it, but it also held you back from realizing all that Allah has intended for you. So that's part of the process. And we understand having just coming out of Ramadan, it's a beautiful thing, because we know that fasting builds the will to resist the impediments to our own self-development. And I thank Allah. Because even though you won't find that a lot of us got some sessions in during Ramadan because we were fasting, and in order to eat protein foods, you have to have good sleep, and you have to have, you know, the proper rest and nourishment. But we understand that a lot of us are walking around with impediments, and we don't realize that impediments mean the things that clog. They get in the way of, they put a crimp and a deterrent and a drag on the God that is in us, and it doesn't allow us to become all that we can be. And it is wonderful, because fasting during the month of Ramadan in particular, it offered us benefits that we are exercising our deliberate and our conscious will to subdue and control our reactive thinking. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan addresses that when he talks to us in Study Guide 18 on dealing with an emotion, an intense feeling. And so that's what the auditing session is about, is dealing with those intense feelings that have become impediments to our own growth and development. So we encourage everyone, even if you don't know a lot about it, you need to find an auditor, come on in, let's talk to you about it, and we can walk you through the process so we can help anyone who's interested to become more comfortable. And everyone who goes through it and who submits to it, they will be able to bear witness for themselves. And that's what it's about. It really is about everyone taking advantage of this for themselves so we can be the best that Allah intends for us to be.
Beautiful.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And Brother James, you know, I remember having a conversation with you, and I remember you stating to me that every cell of the body is a record. And so when we talk about reliving experiences that may have traumatized us or caused severe pain to us, and maybe we have chosen to sweep it up under the rug, not realizing that we are in our daily lives maybe living reactionary to those things that have traumatized us or damaged us in some way, and we're just not acknowledging it. And I asked you, share with you a testimony that someone had shared with me. I was wondering, could you explain or expound on how you can recall events that may have been long ago, even all the way back into your infancy, and how the process of recalling that event and reliving that event is beneficial to the healing process?
Yes, ma'am. You know, as we stated when in that conversation, dear sister, we shared with you that as a result of our study of Dianetics, we learned that every cell, it doesn't remember as such, but every cell has the ability to record, And so, therefore, every experience that we undergo in life, there's an aspect of that experience that the cell is recording. Every nuance, every smell, every feeling, what we call a somatic, every pain, every aspect of one's sensory interaction with the environment records that particular experience. Now, what we're taught in auditing is the ability to pose skillfully placed questions that not only allows the person to recall, but we say return, because the human being is capable of returning to past experiences and reliving them, not just remembering them, but reliving them, to be able to remember color, to actually sense and feel past touches or feelings when you touch something. Of course, the pain, to actually experience it as if it's happening all over again. And that's what the process of auditing is. What it does is allow us, again, through carefully placed and skillfully placed questions, to send the person back in a return to that painful experience, and then extract from that return, as they relate to us, what is going on with them currently. As they are in that experience again, we can extract or identify that negative experience or that painful experience that they had went under or suffered from, that is causing an ill influence or negative impact on their current behavior. So that's called returning, not recalling. It's called returning. And the fact that we have learned that every cell has the ability to record is right in line with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he said that the brain has, I believe, 14 billion brain cells. And he said each cell is capable of a function. So that which we are learning, we already had. We just didn't know what we had. So again, it is the ability for every cell to record the experience and everything going on in the experience. And then through the process of auditing, we can send the person back, or actually the person goes themselves back to that experience. They return to it, and then we begin through, again, carefully placed questions to examine and identify that negative experience that may be ill affecting their current behavior.
Yes, sir. And thank you for that explanation, Brother James. And Sister Naira.
Sister Naira informed me I was waiting for a break, but she called me and told me that she had gotten cut off. So if you could, or Brother Kareem could call her back, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Brother Kareem?
I'm on it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm on it.
Right. You know, right. Sister Gidget, if I may make a request, you know, it is such a rare occasion and blessing to get our sister, who is a little shy, as she shared with me, to be on this kind of program. And you know me, sis, I love to preach. I love to preach, but I really would like to defer to her in these questions, because I don't know when we're going to get another opportunity. So it,
oh, okay. Well, well, you know, Sister Aisha has to know that, you know, she can come on, you know, one time, but she can't come on just one time.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, but don't let the cat out of the bag yet. I got to skillfully come up on that.
Uh-oh.
So yes, be a bit more subtle, you know. Don't put the cart before the horse. But in truth, I really would love to hear from her. You know, we have the benefit of hearing from her when we have the national conference calls for the auditors. And what is most striking is not only her knowledge of this study of Dianetics, but how she can really extract the congruency of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which is one and the same, as well as scriptural content and context, which has always inspired me. So, you know, I want to hear more of that. You don't mind, Sister Aisha, do you?
What am I supposed to say, brother? All praise is due to Allah.
Did I put you on the spot there, sister?
Oh, not a,
yes, you did.
Not. Of course not. Of course not. I'm very humble, but whatever I can do, I don't know what I can add to this discussion. I'm enjoying hearing each of you. As I'm sitting down and I'm just sitting here relaxed and enjoying every moment of it. So I appreciate what you're saying, and I appreciate the opportunity. I am quite humbled. So however I can assist in this, I will be happy to try my best to do so.
Yes, ma'am. And we are so honored to have you, and I agree with Brother James. We certainly need to take advantage of this opportunity, but I can be pretty persuasive. I might get her back on again sometime. I don't know.
Oh, crazy.
Yes, sir. But we got Sister Naira back. Of course, I wanted to include Sister Naira. Sister Naira, I want to ask you in particularly if you can, you know, expound on children, you know, and the reason why I'm really considering studying Dianetics is because, you know, all of you who know me know that I'm a juvenile court advocate, and I have, you know, yet to lose a child to prison. But I tell you, dealing with the judicial system here in Texas is getting tougher and tougher, especially in a system that is determined to lock our children away. They're determined to take our children away from us, incarcerate them while they're young, and work them to a frazzle. In Texas, a teenager can go to prison at 15 years and 10 months. And now they implementing this new thing that, you know, so many minor offenses equal up to a felony. And we're talking about anything from, you know, spray painting to a schoolyard brawl. So, you know, they are creating ways to take our children away from us. And so many of them have been stuck with these labels, with attention deficit disorder and all of these things. And so when we talk about auditing and we're talking about the healing of ourselves, oftentimes when we do recognize that we as parents have a problem that we, you know, decided to address at whatever time, then naturally we have to face the reality that we may have inflicted some kind of ill experience upon our children before we even recognize that we have a problem. So how do we heal our children? Do we introduce them to auditing? I heard the age of eight, but I wanted to get some clarity from you, Sister Naira, if you would.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that question. Yes, ma'am. Well, I can truly say that from personal experience, and hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan saying that we can introduce our children to Dianetics has truly been a blessing for me, because I have five beautiful children, and three of them which have actually studied Dianetics. And for them to be able to go through the book and recognize when they go through something themselves and know that they need a session is a healing for me. You know, when my daughter lost our dog, you know, she wanted to immediately go into session. So for our children to experience conflicts as they go out of our homes every day and understand that, okay, I'm dealing with bank, I'm dealing with reactive mind, is a blessing. So I have seen it as a benefit that my children have went through, three of them have went through the course of Dianetics, and all of them have done the courses of self-analysis. To see them sit, you know, face-to-face and give themselves or, you know, take each other through a self-analysis co-audit session is a beautiful thing, to see them uplifted and enlightened after that session. So it is definitely a benefit for our children to be introduced. So not only do they understand others, but they understand themselves. They want to go inwardly and find out, well, why do I act this way? Why did I do this? And why do I do that? You know, so it has truly been a benefit. And I would recommend that if our children can go through this and comprehend the information that they're being given, that is truly a blessing. And, yes, Mr. Hubbard does quote that in the Dianetics book about the age of eight. But they also have a child Dianetics course.
Oh, okay. Okay. And is there a special training for that, or is that kind of one and the same with all of the other training that you receive?
Well, it's a book on child Dianetics. I haven't read the book, but I just know that it is a book on child Dianetics. Maybe Sister Aisha can give us more on that.
Yeah, yes, I can. Thank you. The book that you're referring to is a pretty easy read. It tells us and it gives us methods by which our children, as young as 2, 3, 4, can go through a process that will allow them to express themselves and come to their own realization without necessarily putting them in what we call in reverie, having them to return by asking them questions that bring them from perhaps they're in a pain or something has happened or they're upset, they're going through a tantrum, they don't want to go to bed, they don't want to do homework, they don't like what you said to them, someone pushed them, they're mad. You know, children do what children do, and we expect that of children, but there are ways to help children to get over upset, whether it be a loss or just feeling discouraged or they've been invalidated. And there are methods by which, by reading this book, very easy to understand, that you can incorporate into your other processes, whether it's in your formal counseling or as parents, as aunties, as grandmothers, as dads. It gives us a way to redirect the person's attention, the child in this case, from being upset to calming down. And it helps us because we don't have to, quote, unquote, snap off. We don't have to hit them. We don't have to, you know, try to get them to conform by inflicting physical pain. It actually gives the adult more control by helping the child to come to their own realization by directing the conversation in a way it's very skillful, but it gets the child off the upset onto something that is brighter and more positive. And then it helps the child to be able to communicate better because we know that sometimes we're tired and we don't feel like going through that. You know, we're not Caucasians. We don't just tell them to get a timeout. We want to sometimes inflict physical pain because that's what was done for us. So what we want to do is find a way to get, open up the lines of communication with the child by letting them know, I understand. Perhaps it's such and such. So instead of us saying, well, go back to the beginning and go over it again, which is what we do in an auditing session traditionally with a child, we might say, I understand, so but I'm not quite sure. Show me what happened. Did you fall like this? And then we do it wrong. So the child says, no, they shake their head. I don't want to. So, and we keep doing it wrong, so the child is forced to then show us what someone did to them, how they touched them, what they said to them. Because I have to tell you, over 90% of the adults that I have had the honor and privilege of auditing, they were sexually assaulted as children. And our children are walking around with a lot of pain and a lot of discomfort, and they don't know who to tell. And almost everyone that I've ever audited never told anyone because they thought that if they told someone, they wouldn't believe them and that they would be the ones who would be blamed. And the two that I know who did tell an adult, they got exactly what they thought they would get, an adult who did not believe them, who then subjected them back into the hands of the person who victimized them. So our children are going through a lot, and just being black in America, they're in a war zone. So we have to find a way to allow them to communicate their discomfort, their pain, or even their upsets with us that doesn't make us feel like they've taken away our power, because it gives us more strength and power when we know how to communicate with our children and we didn't have to beat them in order to get a certain response. So that's why this book is very helpful to you. I certainly would recommend it.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And we're going to pause for a moment. I want to give the listening audience an opportunity, if you would like, to ask questions of the panelists. Those of you in the chat room, I'm going to get to you. But Brother Kareem, let's take the question from the line, and I'm going to try to read through some of this stuff in Google Chat. So do we have any callers, Brother Kareem?
Yes, we do.
They have a question.
Yes, they do have a question. Get their hand up. Area code 614, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Well, family, I just want to say my name is Brother Anthony Muhammad. I'm a Gold Seal certified auditor from Columbus, Ohio, and I just wanted to call in, I've just been listening, but I wanted to attest of the Dianetics that was presented to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And one thing that I really wanted to attest to was that by the grace of Allah, my mother was a pioneer. She raised us in the Nation of Islam. She was so strict in giving us the teachings that I swore up and down that when I grew up, I didn't want anything to do with the nation. I didn't want anything to do with selling final calls, with standing posts, with reciting. And then not only that, but me and my mother, we had a very trying relationship. So I never built a relationship with my mother. It was so bad to the point that I could talk to my mother as an adult on the phone, and within 5 minutes, I'm re-stimulated, she's re-stimulated, she would hang up the phone, I would hang up the phone, and we wouldn't talk for a whole year. Now, mind you, we are FYNNGT. So, and in my mind, that was just how I was. I was angry. I was mean. I was confused. I was depressed. But I knew the teachings. I was a top-notch soldier, I believe. And when it came to my mother, I could not talk to her for 5 minutes, or even when I thought to call her, something that she said when we were younger, something that she did, kicked in, re-stimulated me, keyed me in, and I don't call my mother. Well, I was blessed by Allah's grace to be able to attend the conference where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced the Dianetics in Chicago. And as Brother Nori was sitting there, was standing there giving the presentation, I'm thinking in my mind, like, how is me telling my story over and over again going to get me, you know what I'm saying, get me better? I'm like, okay, whatever. So when we went into the co-auditing, the next thing I know, I'm crying like a baby. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. But when I opened my eyes up, I seen all my other brothers and sisters going through some things too. So I said to myself, oh, my goodness, this is something. This has got to be something. I called my mother up immediately while I was still in Chicago, told her about the Dianetics. She ran down to the org before the weekend was over, had already got in like 20 hours of auditing. Now me and my mother talk for hours on the phone. I love my mother. There's no re-stimulation. There's no key in. And you know what? You know what? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I get to think, one day an issue came up and where I normally go OFF about. And when the situation came up, I was like, okay, where's my anger? I was looking for my anger so I can just have something to, you know, that's what you used to do. That's just how I am. Somebody say something to me, then I just go off. You know, and I'm like, I could not find that anger, and it was the process of taking off the charge and either just erasing the engram that you won't even know that you're healed until the situation comes up again and it doesn't make the cells of your body react. So I just wanted to ask, brothers and sisters, Sister Aisha, I just want to thank you and thank Allah and the person of Master Prophet Muhammad and our Messiah, that black God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, for your work in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for what you have been doing, what you shall be doing, you know, and what you are doing now. Because if anyone does not take this Dianetics, you know, I mean, you're only doing yourself a disservice, because it's not anything about what you have done to someone. It's all about what has been done to you. And just before I end that, on our conference call, Brother the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave Brother Nori a message. And it was to say to us that supreme wisdom can make you a god, and the Dianetics can get you there quicker. And I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife, we attest to that, because we get audited, and now she's number one. I don't know if it's in the region or not, but on her online classes, she didn't touch it first. After several auditings, oh, my goodness, her seven units, she don't have to tell me anything that goes on in the NDT class. I see it. You know, and so I just want to say that it is the grace of Allah that Master Farah Muhammad and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad guided the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to do this so that we can become activated in our lives before he departs, so that we can finish and be very valuable final products. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear brother. What a testimony. I'll praise you to Allah. Absolutely. Okay, Brother Kareem. We have any other questions on the phone line?
Absolutely, we do. Area code 234, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Salam, I know who this is.
Yes, ma'am, just together. This is Brother Albert Muhammad. And
yes, it is.
Basically, I'm sitting here listening. I probably got a two-part question wherein depending on how the first part is answered, if the second part is necessary. And that is this. If someone comes along, they're not in the Nation of Islam, and they're interested in learning Dianetics, how do we handle that? That's the first one. Anybody can answer that if they like.
Okay. So let's yield to Sister Aisha. Sister Aisha, how will one handle that?
Well, there's several things can happen. Well, one of the things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to do was go back and get some auditing with our family. So we get some sessions in, and perhaps this person is not related by marriage or by biologically to anyone in the mosque, so therefore they might not be included in that. But, you know, of course, in Chicago, we've had public life repair seminars. We've invited others and individuals. I would simply say that that person should call the auditing department or the auditor coordinator in their city by calling that mosque or that study group, and that person could, in fact, help to connect them with either the Church of Scientology in that center or that city, or that there may be an exception that could be made depending upon the situation. And when those situations come up and those persons call the auditor coordinator by contacting the mosque, and that person may need guidance as to how to handle this situation. There are many situations that come up where there's so many things that have happened that are so horrific. Then we are trying our best to serve our people in a way that will put them in a better place. And we always say, well, if you don't find a mosque or study group in your city, because we don't charge, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would not allow us to do this for profit. We're not doing this for self-aggrandizement, and we're certainly not doing this because of what we see in terms of dollar signs. And he warned us that if we saw that and if that was our motive, then we had no place with him. So we always say it's not about what we get from it in that regard financially, but it is about how we can help direct someone to the services that may be offered in your city. So I would just simply say call your local mosque or study group, and then we can direct that person, depending upon that situation, to the appropriate place.
That's right.
Okay. So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. And that is, if that individual is not in the Nation of Islam, and hypothetically, let's say we have auditing sessions, auditing classes, et cetera, in our respective minds, respective study groups, we are to humbly suggest that, you know, we find a church or some sort of affiliations with the Church of Scientology that they can go and basically inquire in that respect. Is that what you're saying?
They can. They can, and I'll tell you something else, Brother Albert. When I was trained in Los Angeles, I was at what is called the Celebrity Center International, and we, in our own practice, got to audit our people who came in off the street, if you will. So we had an opportunity to provide a service, yet I didn't charge them. Now, whether the church charged them, I'm not certain, but I know that the church does have a fee for auditing, but we did not charge them. So we had an opportunity, and there are some auditors in different cities who work at some of the orgs, which are, you know, the ideal orgs, as they're called, or some of the Church of Scientology and a few of the missions. So you may, in fact, end up getting an auditor who is a part of the Nation of Islam who operates from the church. And that's why every situation is different. We also take the names of those individuals, their contact information, because when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan allows us to go public nationally, we'll then have an opportunity to connect with that person. But if they're going through something right now and they need attention, then they need to call that mosque so that the auditor coordinator can make the appropriate decision regarding that individual. It may be different for different people, but, you know, it depends. And if that auditor coordinator in that city is not sure, they will absolutely reach out to us, and we can direct them and tell them the best way that they can handle this individual.
Okay, fine. Praise be to Allah. The second question, and this is my last one, is that when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan initiated the Dianetics program, I'm in Muhammad's Mosque number 18 in Cleveland. So we actually went to the Church of Scientology in Buffalo to be,
that's correct,
to be basically introduced to the Church of Scientology, Dianetics, ideology, et cetera, et cetera. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have not, me myself personally, I have not yet been audited. Okay? Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that, and I think I heard you say earlier, that there is not a particular time set on an individual to be audited, even though we must be audited. I'm just making sure I understand, because I hear different things. You know, if you don't get audited, if you do get audited, you should be audited at this point, you should be audited at that point. Is there a time set based on what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that, you know, we all will evolve? It is necessary and it is a must, but at one's pace. Am I correct?
I think if you're finished with your question, I could not hear all of it very clearly.
Okay.
I did hear, understand you said something about, is there a time set for us to be audited? Because some of it was.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What I'm asking you, is there a particular time set? In other words, I haven't been audited, and I have my reasons, and I will be audited, but I feel based on my pace. So is there a particular time set for one to be audited, is what I'm asking.
Okay, I hope that I understand you correctly or clearly. What I can say is that, you know, the minister didn't give us a time.
Right.
What he did is he gave us a directive, and he
right.
told us what he thought would work and what is best for us. And as we understand, a suggestion from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a command for a believer. We understand that he wouldn't make a suggestion lest he thought it was something that was in our own best interest. So it would be important for us, if it's something that we are inclined to do, that we would not waste a lot of time, because it is, you know, to our own detriment, as Brother James said earlier, that we do not take advantage of it as quickly as we can, as often as we can. Every one of us is inflicted daily by something.
Right.
Just get a bill in the mail. Get a bill collector that keeps harassing you. Somebody to cut you off at the light. Somebody who cusses you out and you know you didn't do anything to deserve that. Someone who's not speaking to you. Someone who broke off communication. And as we say, you had an ARC break, change your affinity, your reality, and your communication have been affected. It's every one of us can identify situations that have had a negative impact on us. So the minister wants us to hurry up and do it, and he understands not just one time we'll do it. It's a process.
That's
you know, it's every individual will have to make up their mind on that. He did not give us a deadline that, you know, a timer was set, and once it went off, we were out of luck with him. But there is a timer that right now is running as the minister is about to depart. For those of us who understand that, then we know that if we are going through what we're going through while he's here, we know when he leaves us, we all going to catch it. And
that's
hopefully,
right.
We'll, not because we're being persecuted because of our ill behavior, but because of our attempt to be godly. So I just want to encourage us not to wait too long, because right now the process and the service is free. But as the minister is about to do some things right about now, we may not have enough of us, and I can assure you there will not be enough of us who can sit down and have the time to audit everyone just thinking about it. I would just say take advantage of it while you can. But every man has to go based on his own inclination and his own heart, and we just encourage you to not waste a lot of time, because you deserve to be in a better place. And, you know, that's all. He didn't tell us it had to be by Wednesday, Thursday, or by August the 14th. Let's go and do it.
Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. Thank you, sister. Good.
Welcome. You're welcome.
You're welcome for that.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Brother Karima, let me remind the listening audience, first of all, I'm sorry I didn't earlier. Those of you who may be calling in for the first time, if you have a question for anyone on the panel, please press 1 on your dial pad and we will take your question. And, of course, those of you who are in the various chat rooms, if you have a question for Sister Aisha, Sister Naira, Student Minister James, please type it in and I will ask it on your behalf. And I'm talking to my beloved fans and supporters in the chat room. I am going to ask about the relationships. Hold on. So I wanted to get to something that a particular sister asked me to ask on this particular broadcast, and, of course, she's going to remain anonymous. So I'm going to ask you, Sister Naira, I want to start with you on addiction, because some people they battle addiction, and we have a large Christian base. I mean, a large Christian audience, and so I want to make everything as clear as possible to you, because those of you who interact with us, the language may seem to be a little different. However, we are on a mission to get our people. So
that's
I don't
right.
want to make a distinction
that's,
between whether you're Christian or whether you're Hindu or whatever, because we might be divided by faith, but we are bound by circumstance. So
come on.
We have to make it together in this society, in this time. We're going to have to face this enemy together at some time or another. So it would behoove all of you to get an understanding of anything that is good and righteous for you to survive. So I'm not getting off into the religious division. This is for all of those who are trying to improve on their life and how they conduct themselves in their lives and how they understand what is going on so that they can move forward and become a better person, regardless of what your religion faith may be. So I wanted to make that clear. So, Sister Naira, I want to ask you about addiction. And, of course, Sister Aisha, I need you to weigh in on this. But I want to ask about addiction, because there are so many reasons why that entity takes place in life. But how does addiction work with auditing or Dianetics? Does it help?
Yes, ma'am. Well, again, thank you for that question. I want to just refer back to something that Sister Aisha said, something quoted earlier regarding Dianetics, saying that it's a science of the mind. It is an exact science that deals with the thought of the mind. Mm-hmm. And in that, you know, just growing up and seeing people that have done drugs or being around drugs, or maybe somebody walking down the street that, you know, that's on drugs, everything that we experience is subliminal. We can have a thought that's not even our thought. We can have an addiction that may have even come to us before we even got on the planet in our mother's womb. So with that, we have to be able to, using Dianetics, be able to go back, how did I become addicted to marijuana? How did I become addicted to crack or whatever it may be? You know, there's a scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, certain mindsets that we have is not our minds, and we can refer to that in the process when we hear about Baylesses, you know, being in different people's personalities. So with Dianetics, it can help us go to the root cause on why we have certain addictions. It can be an addiction with food. You know, it doesn't always have to be drugs. It can be any type of addiction. But that addiction starts with the thought process. So So using Dianetics can help us be able to the root cause. And then there's also a scientific way once we're, you know, addicted to something that these drugs have to get out of our system. But we must go to the root cause, and that is the thought process. What got us to that point that we would even subject ourselves to doing drugs?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And Sister Aisha, if you would.
Well, thank you for that. And Sister Naira, that's true. You know, let's look at the reasons why we become addicted and why do we try to self-medicate. If we look at the conditions under which we are growing and the things that we are exposed to in our lives, it often causes us to try to numb our thinking, our own discomfort, our own pain by introducing to the body, which is unnatural, in order for us to be in a place where we don't have to confront ourselves. We don't have to look at what has happened to us. You know, and there's a book, one of the books that we use in this whole life repair Dianetics process is called The Science of Survival. You know, and as Sister Naira says, because one of the references in there goes back to what she says, because it talks about alcoholism being considered to be a physical condition by some and a mental one by others. And so what we can say that alcoholism, those of us who have addictions, whether it's other drugs, we call them, street narcotics, street pharmaceuticals, but those of us who have addictions, we can have a favorable, I would say, result from Dianetics processing because it's considered an aberration or a departure from rational thinking. And so there are processes. What we have to do, though, is those of us who are auditors, is we have to look very carefully into the background of the individual because this is very, very personal and it's very sensitive. So we do what is called a case inventory, and we ask a series of questions. And one of the questions are you currently on any drugs? Do you have a history of it? And so people often do not consider, for example, alcohol or tobacco as an addiction or even food or relationships. We tend to go straight for cocaine and marijuana and heroin. We don't, you know, we kind of categorize so that we can, you know, say, well, I'm not that, I'm only this. But Dianetics has a favorable impact on these conditions that are physical responses to an emotional pain. And it's easy for us to look at people and make judgments, but this is an aberration that happens as a result of something that has affected us. Again, as we were saying earlier, it's not about, now Carla said, it's not about so much what you do, but it's what has been done to you. So what has been done to us that put us in the mind that we felt that we needed to get rid of our pain so we can numb our minds to the effects of the things that have afflicted us? So there is an absolute answer to that, but we have to look at very carefully and weigh each individual to see if this traditional one-on-one auditing is the best step. Is it self-analysis, which is another tool in this arsenal to help individuals? Is it, in fact, what we call straight wire memory or straight line memory, which asks specific questions to connect the events of today to something that happened before without making us to return to it? There are a series of things that we can do. But, yes, you know, one of the other techniques that Sister Naira alluded to is something that allows us to get rid of the toxicity or the effects of the drugs, whatever that drug is that is in our system. And when I was in Los Angeles and one of those persons was bearing witness, they have what is called a purification rundown, or some of us call it a purist, whereby that individual is put in what is called a life repair,
sessions, and then they go to what is called a purification, which is like a very deep and penetrating sauna, a steam room, and it helps to take all of that out of the system. And one child who had been swimming for a couple of years went in that, and it pulled chlorine out of her system. Another person who smoked a lot, it pulled tar out of his system. And another person who was not a smoker, who was around other people who smoked, it pulled tar out of their system. One brother said he didn't do drugs. He said, but I drank Gatorade because I was a sports enthusiast and I was always on the field. When he went into the Pura, it pulled dye out of his system from the drinks that he drank. So there are physical applications to it, but also this life repair, this auditing, this also can go after the pain that has happened as a result of what has happened to us so that we can be alleviated. Yes, ma'am, there absolutely is a way for life repair or Dianetics to help anybody who has any addiction whatsoever. The only problem is that if someone has a steep history in taking psychotropic meds and they've been in this in and out of institutions and they have been abused, we're very careful about the approach because we don't want to exacerbate or make a person worse, because there has to be what is called a medical step down, and that has to be an agreement between that individual and their family and their doctor, because you know that anyone who has an illness of that sort is not just about that individual, but it affects them and their family and everyone who loves them. So that's another process, and it certainly is a lot more intricate, but I hope that I've answered your question. Yes, there's an application, and yes, there's something that we can do to address the addiction crisis in our community.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Sister,
yes,
Sister Gidget,
yes,
if I may, can I just offer something on this particular subject? As you know, and some others may know, this is a subject that I'm not unfamiliar with.
Absolutely. I wish we had time for you to give us your testimony, but absolutely.
I don't necessarily want to do that at this time. I'll just suffice to say I'm not unfamiliar with that situation.
Yes, sir.
You know, first let me say again, refer to the process of self-discovery, self-analysis. And this is all from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, and, of course, the study guides of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As I before mentioned, when we put self under analysis, we, of course, encounter those aspects of the self that is negative. But we also encounter those aspects of the self, those attributes of the self, that are very, very positive. And I would say when Allah bless me to be called back to the nation by Almighty God Allah, and I was suffering that affliction, it was getting back in touch with self, the knowledge of self, and in addition, the power of self. The word addiction, if you will indulge me, is defined as the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming as narcotics, to such an extent that its cessation causes severe trauma. Well, in the study of Dianetics, there is what you call demon circuits. And these demon circuits actually speak to us. They speak with our voice, and so therefore we think that it's actually our own words, our own thoughts, our own guidance. But in reality, these demon circuits are actually conveying thoughts again and commands again from negative experiences that we have had in our life. Where addiction is concerned, it stems, my experience has shown me that it stems from people wanting to be accepted, from a characteristic where a person has an inferiority complex, and wants to attach themselves or get validation from someone else. And as long as someone else is validating them, then they feel, in fact, that they are validated. But again, the Dianetic process in the study of self, in the analysis of self, allows us to identify these demonic commands that are coming out from us but are not really us. And with the understanding of Dianetic, the process of auditing, and the power of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that specifically is referencing the fact that we are all gods, children
That's
of
right.
the Most High God.
Go ahead.
Then we are able to attach or able to access that God power. I mean, there's nothing like it. You know, I can tell you factually that you, no matter what you are strung out on and how long you have been strung out on it, you can change overnight. You can literally change with the acceptance of self, with the knowledge of self, and the power of self. When you identify these demon circuits that are giving you commands coming out from you, once you identify them, you can refile them or erase them or reduce them so that they
That's
no
right.
longer have any effect whatsoever. And it's rooted in, again, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he said, accept your own and be yourself. So I wanted to weigh in on that, but I know for a fact that whatever you are addicted with or by or of, the knowledge of self and the acceptance of that knowledge and the power that lies therein can make you or equip you to overcome anything, because you are, in fact, a god.
Absolutely.
Thank you for allowing me that.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Like I said, I wish we had time to hear your testimony. It's a very beautiful, beautiful story, even though you would need a box of Kleenex in order to endure it all. But if I could ever point to anyone's testimony as a witness bearer for the power of Allah, it would certainly be you, Brother James. Just an amazing story, and this I can't even describe how powerful Student Minister James' testimony is. So all praise is due to Allah, brother. Thank you for that. Okay.
And thank you.
Go ahead,
sis.
Yes,
I just can only
go ahead.
Say,
no.
I was just going to say that I can only say all praise is due to Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes,
that's
right.
For me.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Okay. Before we let Sister Aisha go, because I guess they need to hear it from her. They have been upside my head about relationships. Now, those of you who have other questions, we got about 23 minutes. I'm going to try to get it in, but if I do not, I'm going to ask that at some point before the October Savior's Day, we pray with me, and we can beg Sister Aisha to come back to address some more questions for you. So Sister Aisha and Sister Naira, I know Brother Jane, everybody can weigh in relationships. Now, let me say this, which is sad for me to say, but someone who studies these statistics, being a marriage counselor, I have to keep it real with everyone. The marriage, the divorce rate in the Nation of Islam is just as high as the national divorce rate. And, of course, we are included in that number. However, 70% of our marriages, and when I say our, I'm talking about of the original family, the original people, 70% of our marriages, our first marriages, end in divorce. Mm-hmm. Now, in my personal and professional opinion, that failure in marriage begins far, far beyond, before the marriage even takes place. Because there may be some things that's going on within you that you have not addressed, that you may have kept hidden, and now that you're married and you've gotten comfortable, now the mask comes off, and here is the rest of you, or the hidden part of you, or the other part of you, and you expect someone to deal with it. Now, I believe that true love endures all things. And if it's true love, you know that your marriage is going to have peaks and valleys. But what if there is something that we just have failed to acknowledge? And even if we know those things, maybe pride and ego can get in the way, and we say, well, you know what, I may have this problem, but I'm handling it, or it's my dirty secret, and, you know, nobody cannot judge me. However, when you unite with someone else and invite someone else into your madness, you cannot expect success. And we're at a time now when we as a people and we as families, we need to pull together. When, you know, forget the economic blueprint. If we can't come together as a people, you can forget about the economy. Mm-hmm. So when our families are falling apart, you know, when mother is out the house and father is out the house and the children are left just with all of this clog of emotions, and you're going through your emotions, so you may not be as supportive to the child as they may need you to be. So before I just go on and on, I don't have to list all of the problems, and I couldn't anyway. Sister Aisha, could you expound for us, and I want everyone's opinion on this, about the benefits of auditing when it comes to marriage?
Well, thank you. You know, whenever you talk about relationships, everybody's ear is fastened to whomever's talking, because that's where you get all of the input. Everybody has an opinion, and it's a very sensitive subject. But
that's
I'm
right.
Just thinking of the words of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan when he said that there is a difficulty factor attached to everything of value. And certainly every relationship has its difficulty factors. But even knowing that, going into a union between individuals, you still bring everything that you have, and that person brings with what they have. We've been very fortunate now, because now we have a tool that helps us to deal with what we have brought into relationships that have impacted it in such a negative way. Yes, we are part of this overall number that you referenced. We are in the world, and oftentimes we are of the world in the way that we go after and the way that we attack those difficulties that come up in relationships. Because, you know, whenever anybody comes and they say, you know, they told us that we needed to get audited, it's not the couple, it is the individual that has to deal with that individual. And every individual, as we say, every tub on their own bottom, everybody has to deal with what it is that has impacted them. Sister Nayira used the term valence. We understand that oftentimes we are acting and dramatizing someone else because of what we have experienced. So we come with all of that in relationships, and we have everybody else's opinions. We're almost like people who listen to a lot. Brother talked about demon circuits. We come into relationships messed up.
That's
and
true.
We feel oftentimes that all I have to do is find someone who I love. And, of course, we can look at what we understand our definition of love to be. And then everything will be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. Because what we first have to address is ourselves. I had a brother tell us recently, we have what is called a communications workshop that help us to identify phrases that have an effect on us, that have weighted us down, that we bring into relationships. And he said that he and his wife were not getting along. And when we brought our team to his city and we dealt with those phrases that have impacted us and we kept going at it, and that couple had to deal with themselves, and I meant individually, then as a couple, he said it helped save his marriage. That's because we come in with what we come in with. Every one of us, as the minister said, has something that we would not like anybody else to know. We all have pain, and we walk around with a lot of shame and a lot of embarrassment and a lot of guilt. And those things weigh into relationships, because if I'm coming in and I have secrets, but I can't tell you that I have been sexually victimized, or my mother didn't talk well to me, and my father left, and I don't think well of myself, then I'm coming into a relationship broken, and I'm expecting you to fix me when you don't have the skills or the capability of doing that even for yourself. So what we're having us to do, when we go to the student captains in the mosque, for those of you who are not aware of our structure, we have a student minister, we have student captains for the men and for the women. And in Chicago, the first thing that we do when we see that someone is conflicted or they're having difficulty, they are referred to the auditing department. So the male goes to the brother's class, and the female is referred to through our office from the sister's class so that they can get some sessions. As individuals, help the healing and help it to start right there with the individuals, so that when we have difficulty, we can face it and we don't have to try to run from it. We can watch it and we can confront it, because the minister told us that the key word is to face a difficulty. And I quote him when he said to face a difficulty means to look at it, to assess it, to summon the total strength of our being to oppose it, to overcome it, to have a determined, persevering, courageous spirit to overcome the difficulty. And, of course, in Dianetics, we say the only right solution is to attack it and to confront a problem. But it's hard to confront something that you don't even know exists. So we say you need to do yourself a great service and go on in and get you some auditing so that you can see what is at the root of that, what makes you respond like that when your spouse says something to you. What makes you recoil? What makes you snap? What makes you cuss? What makes you go inward? What makes you not talk? What makes you pull back? There are a lot of things that we do, and we're imitating, as we say, dramatizing what we saw in the home. What happened to us in the womb had a great impact on us. Me personally, I was able to go back into the point where my father did something to my mother that made her pull back, and it had an effect on her, and it has affected me all my life growing up until I could recognize what it was. So we say, as individuals, we can't do anything unless we go back and address the pain that has been inflicted on us as individuals. Then when we come together, we won't be just broken individuals trying to come together. We'll be more whole people, becoming more whole as we go through the process, and so we can go on and be better. But it's hard enough to be Black in America. With all that we come with, we have a lot of pain, yes, but we are now faced with financial challenges, which exacerbate whatever pain there is. And if we don't even know why we respond like we do, there's just going to be a whole lot more cussing, a whole lot more breakups, and a whole lot more divorce, and a whole lot more children being raised by single parents or angry parents because we still didn't deal with the issue at hand. So we say, go on and get you a session so that you can face your difficulty, so you can get rid of that departure from your rational thought that you bring into a relationship. Because the minister reminds us that we have to work on the mistakes that we made, because in our lessons in the nation, we're told that mistakes shall not exist. And what we want to do is to go at the cause for the mistakes so that we can be better for ourselves going forward, even if we're by ourselves. And it's not about trying to be with as much as it is trying to heal ourselves so that we can be better for us. So that somewhere down the road, perhaps if someone should come along, we'll be in a better position to have a more successful relationship.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely wonderful, Sister Aisha. And I want to ask this question because I found it to be very interesting. Let me put it like this. Atonement is one thing, and auditing is something else. So what happens when you have gone through the atonement process with your spouse and you just, in your heart of hearts, you're just trying to get through the day. But the reality of it is that you really can't forgive that moment of infidelity because this was an infidelity situation. And so even though the atonement process has been done, the marriage has resumed, it's still difficult for one party of the marriage. So that's a painful experience. Is that something that a person should get audited for, or should they just try harder to forgive, or just admit that they can't get past it?
I don't want to monopolize, and I know that Sister Nayira and Brother James certainly can answer this quite adequately, so I'll say very, very quickly and hopefully succinctly that I would never tell somebody to just get over it, but I would say to them that there's a process. If you'd like to get through it, then you're going to have to go into it. You're going to have to confront it because it's very, very painful for someone to have lost trust in an individual. And just
That's
because
right.
point out and they acknowledge it and they say, I'm sorry, that is a part of the process. But see, all of this works hand in hand. The minister was so wise in giving us this because one thing complements the other. So once we go through that and I'm able to go in a session now because it's about me right now. Yeah, you can say you're sorry, but I'm not willing to. I want to hold on to my pain. That's really what we might call a secondary. It really has, it is rest on something else that really happened that's at the root of it, and that's why you can't let go because you haven't even addressed what the real issue is that is at the very root of why you are in such pain about it. It may not even be this, that
that's
he stepped
right.
out and did. That's a part of it, and yes, that hurts. But there's something else deeper under that because when we're in session and someone does not come up, what we say, the tone scale, and they seem to be low and they seem to be and you've gone over it time and time again, you know there's something else that's at the very root of it. And if we keep back and forth between coming out, putting you in a pleasure moment, coming into present time and putting you back, and it'll make more sense once one goes through it. But we know from experience that there's something else that's at the very root of it. So all of us can get through it if we go through the process. It helps us to confront what the real issue is. Because this may be something that is being impinged upon by something else. And so we just want to say, yeah, that's that. I understand that. That's natural. But you don't have to stay in it unless you want to stay in it. And we have a way that can help you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sister Gidget, if I may very quickly just suggest to the party of concern that oftentimes whenever someone afflicts us with this kind of disloyalty or some other severe pain, it diminishes our own self-perception. This is why, you know, I would agree and reiterate the importance of getting individual couples counseling is wonderful. But again, I would support and reiterate Sister Aisha's position wherein each has to receive their own auditing. I just want to say that whatever anyone does to you does not diminish you.
That's right.
And auditing will certainly help that it because pain distorts your self-perception. It is a time wherein, really, the engram is born. to tell, according to the study. But it does not diminish you.
That's right.
So get ordinance and suggest to your mate to do the same.
Okay. All right. We about 7 minutes out, so let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, please press 1 on your dial pad and we'll take your questions. Right now I'm going to go to Google Chat and take some questions. Tanya said, what is tone scale? What is tone scale and what is optimum recall? For Sister Tanya.
Okay.
Anyone can answer.
Right. Sister Naira or Brother James, I don't want to monopolize, so please.
I mean, you're not monopolizing this. I mean, I'll address it. Oh, well, let Sister Naira address it since I've already spoken, but you're not monopolizing this, sister, at all. In fact, we're really edified.
That's
and this
right.
was,
yes, yeah.
this
Thank
was
you
the
very
purpose good. For my prevailing upon you to be on the show, to listen.
You're very kind. Thank you.
But go right ahead, sis. I'm sorry.
I didn't know if anyone wanted to respond, but I will. You know, we use that term in Dianetics because it really is what is an evaluation of, I would say, of one's energy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it has it's different points on a quote-unquote scale that shows the level of optimism of an individual or diminished what they call mind. So I'm trying to use layman's terms to describe it. So if we say, for example, someone has an optimal level of energy, their spirit is high, we use a term, we say a tone 40, like you threw the roof, because generally the tone scale that we use is a 4.0 and lower, and 4.0 in Dianetics is good, which means that you're at a place where you're not so affected by the events that are negative. You've gone through them, you've dealt with them, you've repeated them in session. Things happen, but you don't respond like you used to. People can't get you like they used to get you. And so when we talk about the tone scale being low, it also means that they may be in a place where it almost appears like they cannot recover. They have a little bit of what is called life force. So that they're not optimized. They're really almost in a state of almost, it looks like disrepair. But it really, there is life. Where there's life, there's hope. So what
That's
we're
right.
saying is that the level that could appear to someone, oh, they look good, but we also know what are false tones. They
mm-hmm.
appear to be good, but it really is a mask for pain. And when you're in this long enough, I don't care how much people put on a good face, you see right through it, and you understand that it's a facade is there because it's all about them surviving, so they have to pretend to put on a good face in order to cover up what is called a tone, a low tone. So that's
right.
how, when we talk about it, it's a band of operation of the reactive mind, and we see it in terms of levels that a person operates from, and that's why we use the term tone scale.
That's right.
Beautiful. And if I may say, Sister Aisha, if I may say, in addition to that, just the benefit of learning that tone scale is it is an exact science, and it really teaches us how to predict human behavior. When a person, you know, a person is at a certain tone, you know, if they're at a 1.1, you know exactly what a 1.1 would do. If they're at a 4.0, you know exactly what that person, how that person will operate. So now we're not in a guess, or maybe that person is this way, or maybe that person is that way. We really know, and then we know how to better help that person.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you. And Brother Lee says, what about confidentiality and the risk?
Well, you know, let me just say this. any one of us who is in the Nation of Islam who would divulge anything that is said in the session. The session begins with the moment you two enter a room, whether you say, okay, you're ready for your session or not, anything that's said to you. We're so careful about it, dear sister, that we can't even write infractions or anything that is considered outside of our law. We don't use that kind of language because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who reminded him that he did not want a record of the infractions or what was considered, you know, to be law, breaks in the law, if you will. So he didn't want us to leave that kind of record behind that could tell a story that would be unfavorable in the sight of those who come after us. And I'm not talking about those of us who recite and say, you know, I bear witness there's no God but Allah, Muhammad is his messenger. The minister is talking about all of our people and making sure that everyone who comes to us who would allow us to take them in confidence, that we would never, ever, ever divulge anything that is said, because there is a consequence for that, and that is dismissal from the Nation of Islam. And we've had a situation where it was kind of borderline, and the person necessarily didn't say the name, but they used the principal. Swiftly, because we don't play that. And even though I'm in a position that I'm in temporarily, by the grace of Allah, through his servant among us, and I work at his behest, I don't take liberties. And he has never asked me what someone said in the session. He is not interested. I've never had an opportunity or an inclination, nor has anyone ever asked me any of the student labors, whether it was Brother Ishmael, Brother Burby, Sister Sandy, Brother Mustafa. We don't have those discussions. We have in what is called a scan-off. So if an auditor feels burdened by what someone else shared in a session, we can have it scanned off. What that means is that there's a way for us internally to go through it without ever revealing it to the person who was scanning it off of us, so we don't feel burdened by it. So there's a process for us too, but we are never, ever able to not only talk about it with other people, but as I said earlier, we can't even talk about it if you walked up to us and said, remember when I talked to you about such and such? We would just look at you, because the only thing we can say is, what do you remember?
That's
what
right.
do you think? We can never talk about it. So even as we write down notes, it is only in the language that we would understand it. But if it flew out the window, someone stole it, took it out of our car, came in the office and looked in the fire, they still wouldn't be able to understand it, because that's how careful we are about protecting your sensitive business.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I hope that brings relief, excuse me, to all of the people who may have had concerns about that.
Yes. May I please?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
It's important for everyone to know that there's never been a time, and I've talked to auditors up to the last 3 years, there's never a time where someone divulged or said something to us about something that they even did that we look at them differently and make a judgment and we dislike them. The only thing that happens is our love and our respect for them increases exponentially, because we thought we loved them already. Even if we didn't know them, there was some level of camaraderie, some affinity. But when someone shares with us the things that they've been through, it only increases our love for them, and we're not each other's judge. We leave that to Allah, because as the minister said to us in Closing the Gap, we can't wear the judge's robe. It does not fit us. But the one thing we can do, we can continue to love you, as the minister said, in spite of yourself. So it only increases our love, our admiration, and our respect. That's what it does.
Yes, ma'am. You teach, sister. Yes, ma'am. All right.
Okay.
And I know we're already over time, but I have to answer Brother Curtis's question. Brother Curtis, I am Sister Gidget. He wants to know who is Sister Gidget. I am Sister Gidget. I know people know me on Facebook as Sister Aziza Mariam, which is my God-given name, but a lot of people know me by Sister Gidget as well. So Sister Gidget and Sister Aziza are one and the same. And I just wanted to let Brother Curtis know he thought somebody was missing on the panel or something. He was like, well, when we going to hear from Sister Gidges? That's funny.
Yeah.
I cannot thank Allah enough for this night. Thank you, Brother James, of course, for reaching Sister Aisha for us. And Sister Aisha,
thank you.
I'm going to get down on bending knee. I know you can't see it. I'm going to get down on bending knee and ask that sometime before the October Savior's Day that you come back and join us. And what I plan to do on that day is to have a testimonial program where people actually bear witness to the benefits of auditing, because we still have people who are very, very reluctant, but they are in so much need of help, and we want to encourage with that program, and particularly for those who may feel apprehensive because they have concerns about confidentiality, they have concerns about not being able to express themselves, they have concerns about shame because of some of the events that have taken place in their lives. And of course, we do not want anyone to feel reluctant to reach out and get help, because I know that the minister knows what he's doing. I bear witness to that every day. And so for him to give this distinct instruction, we need to hear and obey, but we also need to help those who may be finding it difficult to begin the process. And that's what the brotherhood and the sisterhood is for. So whatever we can do to encourage you, to uplift you, to inspire you to get what you need, that's exactly what I have been charged with in my spirit by the grace of Allah. And I'm going to make sure I do my part to make sure that that happens for all of us who may have the desire to get audited. And it should be the desire of us all. So before we close out, I want to give the Vice President of the Nation Building Movement Network an opportunity to ask a question, because, as you know, Brother James, we can't ever have Brother Kareem on here and have him be quiet. So,
that's right.
Brother Kareem,
that's right.
My beloved big brother, my right hand, where are you, sir?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam.
And, wow. The question that I would ask is this. Once one begins auditing, once one begins going through the course, and they find themselves stalled, so to speak, how does one get back on track? What is the procedure there?
Brother James, would you be so kind?
Yes, ma'am, with the help of Allah. I would say very simply, dear brother, first of all, auditing will identify why you were prompted to stop, or as we say in Dianetic language, to blow, which is when you leave a course or leave a study suddenly. There are a number of reasons why, but I would suggest an auditing session to try to identify why. But the best way to deal with it is to confront it and start again. Just get up and start again. You know, in Dianetics, in some of the courses, there's a course that deals with confronting, the ability to face a situation without losing yourself or being manipulated by that or by whom you are confronting. So confront it. And as it says in the Holy Quran, and it's just Aisha said it so very beautifully, reciting the minister's words, we should face the difficulty. Face it. Set our face to it to overcome it. But again, I would recommend getting audited to get at the root as to why you stopped the thing or someone stopped the thing. It may be because they have a history of starting something and not completing it for whatever reason. But just get back on the horse, brother. I know that's rather simplistic, but I have found that, you know, that's how you deal with it. And anytime you stop, it's never too late to get back on. No one is going to condemn you. No one is going to judge you. No one is going to criticize you for your cessation of the study, because that's not what it's about. Quite to the contrary, everyone will be so excited that you have started again or restarted. That's what the whole process is. Remember, Dianetics auditing is not what you do. It's what has been done to you. And as such, you're not blamable. You see what I'm saying, Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir.
Just get back on the horse, man, and start.
And Brother James, may I also add, please?
Yes, ma'am, by all means.
Yes. I would say also get word clearing. Because
that's right.
Quite often we blow a course because there has been some type of misunderstood word or phrase or symbol. So definitely get word clearing.
Can you explain very quickly, Sister Naira, what word clearing actually is as it relates to the Dianetic process? Just very quickly so that those in the listening audience, I think Brother Kareem knows it because he clears words all the time.
Every day of the week.
On the show. But there are those in the listening audience that may not understand what word clearing actually means.
Yes, that's a process by which you actually sit down with a partner and you take a book, a dictionary, or a thesaurus in a derivation book and actually go through and go back where you started you stopped reading and you really didn't understand that what you was reading and find the word that maybe you've gone past, you missed it, you didn't quite understand it, and look up that word, look up the derivation of that word, and then go back and start reading from where you left off at.
That's absolutely
yes,
right.
Thank you for that clarity. Okay, we are over time. I cannot thank a lot enough for all of you who have joined us by phone and in chat rooms. And I am so sorry I did not get to all of your questions, but you heard her yourself. Sister Aisha is willing to come back. So we're going to have a testimonial program. Yes, Allahu Akbar. We're going to have a testimonial program, and then we're going to dedicate one whole hour to the listening audience to get all of your questions in because I want these questions in particularly to be answered for you because it's detrimental for your life. I cannot thank Allah enough for you, Sister Minister James, my beloved sister Naira, and of course, I always want to say Sister Captain Aisha. I just can't. Sister Aisha, thank you so very much.
May Allah continue to bless you for what you are attempting to do in terms of you're trying to enlighten, educate, uplift, and edify your audience. And I thank you very much for allowing me to be with you all this evening.
Oh, yes, ma'am. The honor is all mine. Trust me, you just don't know. I'm bursting at the seams. I'm trying not to show it. But thank you. That is a compliment and a half coming from you, Sister Aisha. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much for honoring us with your presence. Brother
thank
James,
you.
Any last words from you?
Just words of gratitude. I just want to echo those words of gratitude. Thank you. Sis, as you know, Sister Gidget, I tried to get her on before some time ago, and she did share with me that she was rather shy, at least to that degree. But I knew the blessing that I knew the blessing that the people would experience and that we all have received as a result of her agreeance to be on the show. She is a dynamic person, and I can only say this, that, you know, there's been quite a few times that I have not been on the level of tone that I could or should be, and her words have lifted me on a number of occasions, a number of occasions.
All praises to
Allah. So thank you.
Yes,
all praises to Allah.
And Sister Naira, any closing remarks from you before I go into announcements?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Aziza, I want to thank you so much for this beautiful call. It was definitely inspirational for me. And I want to thank Brother James for his invitation. And always he inspired me to be a greater servant in our nation. And I want to thank our beloved Sister National Auditors Coordinator, Sister Aisha, who is a true inspiration for me. And
sure.
I'm very, very happy and blessed that she got on the call with us tonight. And I would like to thank the listening audience that have gotten on to take time to learn more about this beautiful process that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has led us to. And I pray, Allah, that we all have heard something tonight that would inspire us to take part in this process of auditing and or become an auditor. So thank you again, and I pray, Allah, that we all have a blessed evening.
Thank you very much.
All praises to Allah.
Thank you all. And please join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central. We'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad as he will expound on the time of what must be done, part 30. And is there anything else that you're going to add to the program tomorrow, Brother James?
Yes, ma'am. What we will be discussing actually, by the grace of Allah, is part 29. And it will actually be an introduction to the subject matter that, by Allah's permission, we will take on Sunday. I'm being blessed to deliver the message on Sunday in Tampa. And the title, of course, always is The Time and What Must Be Done. And the subtitle will be Allah's Incomparable Mercy, A Recurring Happiness. So that's what we're going to discuss, inshallah, on tomorrow. And by the way, sis, Brother Michael, the student coordinator here in Tampa, he wants to try his hand at hosting. So I shared with him that that would be certainly fine with me.
Oh, okay.
That's all right with you.
All right, you can take my job. That's fine.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and join us, of course, on Saturday for Young, Gifted, and Black, which, of course, coming from that Lower East Coast. Again, we are introducing our new hosts, Brother Ronnie and Brother Tracy. They're also from, I think they're from Region 7. They are from Region 7.
That's
and so
right.
Finally, Young, Gifted, and Black has some young hosts, so this program is dedicated to our youth. This is their expression and their own creation. So please join us in supporting them at 8 o'clock on Central on Saturday. And on Sunday at 6:30, join us for our Economic Development Show with Brother Vernon, No Romance Without Finance. On Monday, join us for Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. with our host and our Vice President, Brother Kareem Muhammad. And on Tuesday, we are still uplifting our Brother Jihad Muhammad in prayer, who is recovering from surgery. So we have one more rebroadcast, and then Brother Jihad will be back with us live on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. We're out on the front line with the Food of Islam. And on Wednesday at 7 p.m., of course, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. And, of course, next week, yours truly, I will be back with Nation Building Presents The Death of Malcolm Shabazz. So I just want to thank the listening audience all over again. I love you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you,
Sister Aisha, Sister Naira, and, of course, Student Minister James. Thank you, Brother Kareem, for always having my back. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. I leave you as I came before you. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Id Kareem.
Id Kareem, yes.